I'm Simon Devereaux, Director of Global Talent Development at Framestore, and welcome back to this week's Framestore podcast, episode 43, part 2. On Monday's episode, we engaged Mumbai-based Manpreet Singh, Head of Technical Operations, who took on our 13-question grilling, otherwise known as the Framestore podcast dailies. On today's episode, we pass the mic to this week's guest co-host, London-based technology project manager, Michael Sava. So without further delay, we very much hope you enjoy episode 43, part 2 of the Framestore podcast. Welcome back to the Framestore podcast. We're here with the amazing Manpreet Singh, Head of Technical Operations, and our co-host Michael Sava, Technical Project Manager here at Framestore. So without further ado, it's been a while since we've done the usual format, so it's great to be back in the saddle. We've had a lot of special episodes. So this is where we hand over to our co-host, who's going to take the reins and interview Manpreet. So Michael, it is very much over to you. It's your show. Enjoy, and we'll catch you at the end.
Thank you. And I guess with that, I'm kind of going to take the role as the direct reports and start by asking you, what factors are you looking for when you're examining one of your team for a promotion?
Oh, well, last time I remember I mentioned about setting objectives and goals for the team. So I do that in the beginning of the year, and then we see at frequent intervals where we are. And then at the end of the year, we say, okay, this is all accomplished. But then other than that, what else have we contributed with? Let it be documentation, process improvement, initiatives taken. So those kind of things, what is the value addition people are making throughout the year? So I think that's also something which is considered while making these kind of promotional things, not just the core objectives.
Yeah, it's being holistic, I guess, and just having the can do, but they'll want to do, and getting stuck in. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess that's how you, through doing that, you see a little bit more of a person. I think I was saying that on the last podcast, where you kind of, you want to open up a little bit and you want them to open up. So I guess when you're trying to, if someone comes to you for a promotion, or they're looking, or they want to be move into more of a managerial position, are you assessing that, how they'll perform in the role, as well as how they've performed retrospectively, and there's so many factors. So how are you helping them to progress as well, I guess, is the next question.
Right. So one of the key things that I look in for is the kind of culture that Framestore offers. Are they really fitting into the culture? Are they really kind of making sure that they are comfortable? And at the same time, when we are working together as a team, they make others also comfortable. So that's something that we encourage and expect. So I think during the team meetings, we get to hear a lot of ideas. Some people just say, hey, I have an idea, but then they don't know how to execute those ideas. So just by giving ideas probably doesn't work. How will you execute it? How will you, what all resources would you need? So those kind of things are something that I would expect from people, those who are bringing some ideas. And because we are giving that openness and platforms, so people are also motivated to implement those ideas. I think those are the things that we look for.
Yeah, it's interesting. So I was thinking this earlier when you were talking about your diverse set of skills, and you do some writing, you play music, but also you know your craft and you know what you're talking about, be it storage, be it process flows, pipelines. Like this is, I'm learning from you and throughout my career, is that being a good manager is about just having a nice, diverse set of skills that you can bring to the table, right? And that leads you to be able to participate in those scenarios where, you know, there's different types of people. There's people that want to bring up problems and the people that want to bring up solutions. And, you know, and it's that. But having that diversity of thought, diversity of skills is really important. But on the backbone of, like you said, you did some writing, and I used to do some writing as well. And that helps, you know, that skill of exercising that writing skill helps. Going to networking events exercises a different skill that then you can demonstrate as a manager. No, it is interesting to hear you talk about that mixture of ideas that you have bring to the table, I guess. So other things outside of work are important to make a good leader then, if you're thinking about, is it time off, separating work and work and home life? Because so your job, you're pretty on 24/7, right?
Yeah, I mean, nowadays everybody's like 24/7 when you have smartphones in at home or in hand. You know what's coming up next and somebody is expecting some response. So you, I mean, being in tech support roles, you of course have to be kind of 24/7.
Yeah. It's not just the new stuff. It's the making sure everything else is working, keeping the lights on. But I suppose, you know, it's about having a good team that you can rely on and know that you can, as it grows, you guys have just been exceptional at just getting everything working. Something goes down, be it a network somewhere in the world, and just adapting to whatever the scenario is.
Yeah.
So hopefully you are able to achieve that work-life balance.
Absolutely. Because the moment something goes down, you must know whom to reach out to. And that comes by experiencing networking, social networking, knowing people.
Yeah.
So I think I do that also after office hours. I just go and watch some plays and stuff. I make friends. So I think that's also something really important. And then this also plays an important role when you know whom to reach out when there are problems. So you should be familiar to those people.
You've got confidence in the systems you put in, right?
Absolutely.
And do you what part of the job do you prefer then? Do you prefer more of the what's going on today, the maintenance, the daily kind of like what's the rinse and repeat stuff? Or do you prefer some of the newer stuff and testing out some of the new ideas, like maybe virtualization of some of the systems or using some of the cloud solutions or whatever the case is? What gets you excited about the job?
I think repetitive is like everyday's job. You don't really love that. You can kind of live with it for some time, but then we really need something new every day or probably over a period of time. So it's essential to have right people in right place. Let's say until now, I was not having a manager in my team. So I introduced a manager. Now I have delegated a lot of responsibilities to him. I think it's really helping me to delegate things. And now some part of it is taken care by that manager. And I'm also focusing on building different strategies, budgeting things. So those kind of things essentially now. And it's keeping me busy.
So some of the routine stuff you can start now once you've got it set down into some processes. Because how long's the office been open in Mumbai now?
Nearly three and a half years.
So stuff is really embedded now, right? So you're at that point where now you've got confidence in the people and the processes that you can
see. Yes, the team is really wonderful. Team is really performing well, rightly picked candidates. You can appreciate me on that.
Yeah, no, you guys work fantastically. And it's been a pleasure anytime I've got to work with you guys. Actually, on that, let me ask. So when you get project managers suddenly saying, I'm going to help you on this project, like, how do we not get in the way? I don't want to get in the way of projects, but sometimes you feel like we do get in the way, and how it's a tight balancing act sometimes to be a project manager when you're thrown to another person's team and say, implement this for them, when obviously you and your team know how you're going to do it already. We get in the way, right? And how do you manage that? How do we not get in the way?
No, I believe that's something really good culturally in the organization that people are willing to help.
Yeah.
That's really nice. At the same time, if we know that we can do it or handle it ourselves, that's all right. But there are some things like communicating to different stakeholders. Sometimes the project manager knows who are the stakeholders worldwide involved and can help in communicating, for example, or having the right documentation in place, having the right ticketing systems in place. So, of course, those things are also helpful. And because we being into core technical things, implementation, those are the things that any project manager can also help us with and keep track of the project.
It's a very diplomatic answer to a very provocative question. Thank you. But it's true. Sometimes I do feel as project managers, and I get suddenly, especially when I'm working with a brand new team, I'm like, you know, I can read the room and I feel like I'm going to be getting in the way. That wasn't the case with you guys, but it happens often, I think, as a project manager. And especially when you're working in a global company like this, I don't see you in the office. Like, we've never met in person, but we've got to work together online very often.
Yep.
So that openness struggles to develop because, you know, I'm not in the environment. We're not talking, we're not sitting by the water cooler, what they used to say, I guess, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it is interesting because as a project manager, I do have to remind myself I'm not getting in the way. You know, there is stuff that we can bring to the table, and it's not just asking the stupid questions, it's remembering other stupid questions we asked and folding them into this conversation.
Yeah, I think it's also important that we get onto a call, understand what is expected from each other, and then do those roles and responsibilities.
Yeah.
That's the easiest way to get it done.
And not getting distracted, which is really difficult in this job as well, because part of working in systems generally, like, is what's going on this weekend, what maintenance is happening, what's the risks, and your brain must always be in that mode as well, right? And how do you turn that bit off?
I think that's always in that mode. The moment we start working on a new project, the first thing comes up, what are the risks and what? So of course the budget thing is, I assume that is pre-approved. That is the reason why the project is starting. Sometimes budget may not be visible. So I think the risk thing is something that comes first, the resources, and then the entire team or the stakeholders involved in the project management. I think those are the key things that are essential to start with. And of course, very important that a lot of people don't do is the documentation, because people will come and go. If it is not documented well, the people, those who are joining later or new joinees, they will also face a lot of problems if there's no documentation in place. I think that's also essential.
And there's a lot of people that have been here a long time, and that's a testament to the company, right? And I know people that have left and come back twice or three times, right? And but with that carries this thing of like, oh, X knows about it, you know, and they know how this works, and don't worry about it. And if we don't, not to belabor the point, but if we don't have documentation, like at every stage, right? And that is how you kind of, you trust in the system, like you just let it go, and you know that you've put in the cogs that are going to work. But getting that out of some people is the challenge, and making sure, because they, people want to move on to the next thing as well. Once you start something and you deliver something, because it's so fast sometimes, or sometimes you just haven't got the time and you're fitting a change in, you're just on to the next thing. You're just always on to the next thing. And already it's funny, today I got asked, is this project closed? And I'm like, well, I've got a very long answer, right? The short answer is yes, but no. And because closing out projects and getting stuff ready so it's fit for purpose, so it's fit for you guys to just not worry about on the weekends and changes can go in, is really difficult. Here's a really weird question. When there is an emergency on the weekend and you suddenly got you've tried not to look at your phone, but you happen to have peeked over and seen that something's gone down, and the firefighting part kicks in, do you sit back and let the team deal with it? Or do you just watch the emails flying around and saying, right, we're dealing with this, we're dealing with that, we've sorted it for now? Or do you get involved? What type of leader are you when that happens?
So I believe the first thing that I do if there's something gone down, I have to communicate to the right stakeholders, hey, something has gone down, and don't worry, we are there. If we know the ETA, we communicate that. If we do not know, we say, okay, please look into the space for more information. And on a frequent interval, we keep updating that, hey, this is being looked into, and then now we have the ETA with us. So those kind of things, I do get involved into communications and ensure that the right technical people start working on the things and fix them as soon as possible. So that's how I start working. That's kind of incident.
Make sure the right people on the right job. Okay, obvious. These things are obvious when you say them, right? You get somebody here, you tell the right people, and you make sure the right people are looking at it, and then hopefully it all fixes itself.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of things that I can handle also, but if I'm going to do all the job, it's like, you know, checkers checking checkers.
There's no point.
So those kind of situations, somebody would say, why are you stepping in my shoes? That's my role. That's my job. I can do that, but then I also let people do, and then when people do that and achieve it, they feel proud of it, and then moments to share, we come out of that particular incident.
Yeah, and I see a lot of you guys celebrating success in the office when we have the newsletters flying around, and it's lovely to see that, and that's really useful. And it's how I get introduced to the team sometimes, you know, people are just an email, and then suddenly I see a photo of a guy's having drinks on a Friday. And you said you guys do that quite often, because it's a big office now, you've grown really fast. So trying to make sure that everyone feels like it's not nebulous, and they still feel like it's a lovely place to work, is really important, I guess. So have you got any kind of social stuff coming up in the office this summer then? Have you guys started talking about it already?
So the monsoon is hitting soon. June onwards, I believe, and people are already gearing up to plan for a team outing somewhere, the entire support team. So we're saying, okay, let's go out and spend a night somewhere, have some barbecues and drinks together. So I think that's coming up. We're planning on that.
That's good. It's always interesting when you're the new person as well. You've just started and suddenly there's like a social do and you've got to go. I mean, I think I just started like a month or two before Christmas a couple of years ago, and it was literally Christmas party, and it suddenly like turn up. have fun, learn to get everyone. And you really are kind of just thrown into it. But like I said, everyone is respectful and it is loads of fun. But those things really help. You know, people can get forgotten, especially like in the UK specifically, the winter months can be pretty harsh. And obviously for the guys over in North America and Montreal, and you don't get out much. So making sure that you've got that time to just chill, be away from work, but still get to know people at work is really important.
Also that it's culturally a little different in India. We like to work together. I think we are the only site in Framestore where fully operational on-site and people are working from office.
Mm-hmm.
So spending time outside also gives a good relaxation, motivation. Absolutely nice.
Yeah, because the work environment's really, really difficult to make sure you maintain it as a place of enjoyment and it doesn't become a place that you hate to go to, especially if you are there full time, right? And companies can do a lot to make people feel invited, but it goes a step further when you're trying, I suppose, to make sure that leaders are feeling like they're being discovered in this space as well. So yeah, what's let's talk differently about, like, so you worked loads of places. What made your best boss the best? And I suppose what then do people should be doing when they're being line managers for others, I guess.
Interesting. I think when you are leading a team, managing a team, it's equally important to understand your team's pain areas, your team's expectation, your team's goals or objectives, personal objectives sometimes. So you have to deal differently in different environments. Sometimes people take vacations or leaves. Sometimes people don't want to work for a long time. Sometimes people have different reasons not to come to office. So handling different situations, there are sometimes conflicts also.
Mm.
You have to be handling these kind of situations in a way that people really are comfortable. You have to empathize with people, be in their shoes, understand their problems, and take actions accordingly. If that satisfies them, I think that's the key thing you've already done. And they are, of course, willing to put their 100% in the team. Mm. So that's what I normally do. I do one-to-one meetings with my team members and ensure everything is all good, everybody's happy. I think that's very important.
So someone that's empathetic, that's the thing that stands out. And I think that's really important. Yeah, all the line managers I've had that have always been on the good side have definitely been people who've not... Empathetic's good, but also just like interested, like honestly interested.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not so much like I've got a crisis and I need some help, and that very rarely comes up, hopefully, for most. But it's more just an interest in why the person is there, why they're working, and how then you can help them in their career, I find is also really interesting.
Of course.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. So is it, apart from empathy, what other qualities are leaders missing today then? Like, so there's loads of leaders out there without empathy, I can tell you that.
Yeah.
But what other good qualities do good leaders have?
I always say to my team, like, it's like something when you go into a restaurant, you will go and sit there, and unless you order anything, nobody's going to get anything for you. You have to tell, what are you hungry for? What are you willing to pay for? And so that has to come from the team. What are they hungry for? Whether it is technical stuff, whether it is just money, whether it's just, you know, family time and stuff. So everybody has a different motivation.
Mm.
So when you understand those things from the team with their expectation, I think that's half the battle already won. And then you can make sure that they are aligned to the business objectives and then also help them achieve those objectives. So I think all of these things together.
The empathy, motivation, and breathe. That sounds like the plan, right? And if you can do those things, show empathy, look into why people are motivated, and breathe before you speak, you'll be fine, right?
Of course.
And you're well on your halfway there to being a leader, right? This is a bit of a random one, but I suppose so. When I came into the industry, I had to learn. I've worked in IT departments, traditionally what they used to be called, systems departments, technology departments. And then this is the first time I've worked in visual effects, specifically on the system side. And it's interesting because there's loads of people out there who work in IT and systems and but in different industries. And they want to work in maybe multimedia. What part of this industry is different, I would say, to... You said earlier you worked at TomTom and you know, so why is visual effects different in the technology space, and what I suppose the other counter question is, what should people be learning if they want to get into this space? Is it just the pipeline? But what about from a technology platform, storage, virtualization, that sort of stuff? What's keen and interesting for someone in IT at the moment in this sector?
So I believe, if you're comparing with the previous industry, like typical IT industry, it's like more of the technology thing, virtualizations, cloud computing. In VFX, I think it's a little bit more different because we are making impossible things possible. That's the key one-liner I can say, which actually, you know, is also attracting different talents. If you're really creative and have that skill sets, you can get into the animation VFX field. However, in the technical roles, I would say we are so much of focused on having a storage expertise, networking, secure networks, render farms, also using cloud computing nowadays because the demands are such. So yeah, I mean, those are the areas I would really think about when it comes to getting into VFX industry.
And I was expecting it a little bit to be like a typical IT department, to use a colloquial, like an old phrase, right? But then once you start to learn how fast the turnover is, how fast the putting something together is for a deployment on this side of it, it's fascinating. And you realize why it needs to be its own beast and why you do need to suddenly think about security differently, mm-hmm. especially if you haven't worked in some of these companies that provide NDAs or secure networks where you're having to be careful about the data that you're exposed to or the data that they're exposing you to. You know, there's a lot mm-hmm. of thought that has to be had there. So learning about those kind of security interests are really very niche to media. But it becomes even more difficult in VFX when you're just trying to deal with so many assets, right? And they're all over the place and everyone wants to deal with them. And you've got to be careful. But that, as well as storage, as you said, is another area that people should be keen to. And on the cloud computing, obviously that's going to be, we're already using it a lot more for our AI and machine learning projects, but also for rendering, although it's expensive and things like that. Is everything going to eventually in your lifetime be cloud computing, do you think? And everything, there's no on-prem solution that you're supporting? Is that the end goal?
Well, on-prem is a big thing that we're supporting for sure. Cloud computing really helps when you are kind of, you know, spin up a couple of machines on the go and you have like hundreds of machines available in 10 seconds, something like that. It's easy to use. It's easy to manage. But then understanding how much is the risk involved is also equally important. But I mean, it's pretty much taken care.
Well, that's the beauty of it, right? It's taken care of. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that comes also with the price point. But for the time being, this hybrid solution is here to stay, right?
Of course, it will stay. For VFX industry, I do see that on-prem thing is working very well because that gives a satisfaction to the customer also that the data is in-house. It's not going anywhere. And it's very, you know, risky when it comes to like even a single screen is available somewhere in public social media. It's a big risk to the entire show. Mm-hmm. So I think it gives a great confidence when the entire show is hosted in-house.
Yeah, and I get that. And it's even more complex now that with immersive projects, rides, Oculuses, whatever this HoloLens, all these things, right? And trying to control and limit and the risk while still keeping the lights on, keeping storage available, system workstations available. Yeah, it's a huge ask. But yeah, the hybrid solution is definitely, I think, here to stay for the foreseeable future. But there are definitely cloud providers out there that will tell you otherwise, which is interesting. But so on that, actually, do you still attend a lot of the networking events? Do you go to a lot of like the functions and the how do you stay? We talked about it the first podcast a little bit, but staying with your finger on the pulse. And is there any events that you'd advise people looking to get into the industry to attend?
Do you mean like seminars or something?
Seminars, yeah, workshops, or sometimes some of these bigger conferences that specialize in like more so when they're looking to get into media production, I guess, is more general. Should they just end up and go to these seminars? And is there loads of them in Mumbai as well, I think?
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff happening in Mumbai. Like, for example, different OEMs like HP or Dell or ASO, they keep on having some sort of seminars to make sure that they are inviting customers like us, different VFX companies. So we get onto a platform where we exchange ideas. We learn what is new technology coming up by which OEM. And then they also learn from us as to what can help them get the better products out there. So yeah, I do participate in those events also, and then it is.
Oh, so that's good. So there's a feedback loop at those events where you'll be able to form them. Because I've been, I generally, as a project manager, I'll use those events to just learn as much as I can in the day about an industry. Right, I'll go to everyone and say, "Explain to me what you're trying to sell or implement." And it's really interesting because you know you can get a lot out of a day at one of these media production shows or visual effects in the cloud shows, whatever they are. And at the same time, you just you're learning a lot about people and people in the industry and making contacts that no doubt you'll meet sometime in the future, because as I said, a lot of people keep coming back to Framestore, so you end up working with a lot of the same people in the business. But it's fun, right? Cool. Well, thank you, Manpreet. This has been really cool.
That's great. Yeah.
And thank you for letting me jump on and be part of this podcast. It's been really useful. Thank you, Simon.
Thank you for me.
No, thank you. That was great. Great to listen in on that conversation. And I love how we got into the detail, which is what I expected with you both. That was really cool. Before I let you go, Manpreet, when we first met all those years ago, say all those years ago, two years ago, 1 year ago, I can't remember when it was now, you shared with me the Clarity article.
Yes.
That seven questions.
Oh, yes.
And I wanted to ask, there's two questions you were asked, right? One question was a book that had a profound impact on your leadership so far. And you referenced Multipliers by Liz Wiseman and Greg McKeown. Now, have you got another book recommendation, or is that still the book recommendation you'd go to if you were asked the same question again?
I frankly, after that, I mean, there's a very less time that I get to get into books. I have started writing scripts and stuff, as I mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
Reading books is a little gone away.
Fair enough. So it's still the same one then. That's
but
cool.
Writing, now writing things is
the your own book. And the other one I was really taken with, because we talked a bit about kind of mindfulness earlier and pausing and breathing. You were asked about how you structured your work days. And I was really taken by your answer. And it was really lovely. It says, I usually wake up early by about 6 a.m. I go for a walk and exercise for nearly an hour. I drink about 3 to 4 glasses of water, take a shower, and then have my breakfast. Then I spend some time checking my emails and chats and ensure I respond to any pending requests. I start working in the office from around 10 a.m. to about 6 p.m. One of my habits is to shake hands or say hello to everyone I meet in the office. I conduct daily meetings with my team members to listen to problems, ideas, and work together to bring solutions. So then, and then you get into your evening routine. But I was going to ask you, that was a few years ago now.
Yeah.
The studio's bigger. Life's changed. You know, we've reversed out of a global pandemic.
Bigger
is that still your routine is my question.
Yeah. I mean, saying hello, so of course. I mean, if you want to start from the beginning of the day, of course, I do still wake up at 5 now.
Okay.
It was 6 earlier, so it's like 5 now because kids have to go to school, so we have to make them ready as well.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. I do try to keep myself healthy and follow workout schedules. Sometimes I have to miss because multiple things come in picture, family and stuff. Earlier, when I shared this document, I was living alone. So now the family is with me. So I think that's... little bit gone away.
So life's changed.
Yeah. However, I think when I come to office, I still say hello to all of the team members and then work together, understand their problems. So I think that's pretty much, I mean, the work style and everything remains same. There's nothing much has changed in that.
Consistency. I love it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what a great, great episode. Thank you both, Manpreet and Marco. That was wonderful. If anybody asks me what the best thing about Framestore is, I am going to say Manpreet Singh. It's it's been very inspiring. But yeah, I thought it was a great episode. Thank you both, Manpreet and Michael. Is there anything you want to leave our listeners with before we close the podcast for another 2 weeks?
I think I would just say take care of yourselves.
And breathe.
Love that. What a perfect way to end a podcast.
Thank you for having me here.
No, you're very welcome. Thank you, Manpreet. Thank you, Michael. You've been brilliant. And
no, thank you for inviting me. It's been wonderful. Appreciate it.
No worries. No, it's been a pleasure. Pleasure's all mine. Have a great day. See you soon.
Bye-bye.
Well, that wraps up this week's episode. What a great conversation and another excellent addition to our management and leadership series. It just leaves me to thank Manpreet for being another truly inspiring guest and Michael for being this week's brilliant guest co-host. A special thank you to Samantha Sosnowski from the global training team on production duties. We'll be back in 2 weeks' time where we meet with some of the Melbourne team behind the excellent TED TV series. Thanks for listening. We'll see you then.